All right, okay. All right. All right. Okay. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it's, what is it? It's Monday, March 30th, almost the end of the month here, 8:36 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am your host, Kevin. This is a new show, new week, almost the beginning of a new month, end of a month and beginning of the month, same time. It all happens at the same time. What's old is new, and what's new is old. I'm old. Got the old part down. I have, I'm going to the guitar thing here now. So we have, Hey, it is 2026, by the way, the year. I don't really have anything on the show. This is kind of weird, because I was kind of up late, I wasn't up late. I did go to bed kind of late, I guess. I slept on the sofa until I got up to go to bed, but I had kind of a rough weekend. It's been a rough couple of weeks, very stressful time. I'm going to say this, the last weekend was the most stressful of all. Got through it. Everything went, I didn't die. So that was helpful, I think. But yeah, not an easy weekend for me. I'm only going to have to do this one more time. The years go by every year. I have to do this recurrent training stuff, and it's stressful. I only have one more time to do it. I have to do it, so it's kind of. I'm just done with that stuff. Anyway, that's the one part about this job that I do. I just can't stand. Well, there's a couple things I can't stand. It's probably that it's the pinnacle of the things I can't stand. There's a lot of things I like about the job, which is why I keep doing it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. I'd do something else. And believe me, I could do whatever I wanted else, whatever else I thought about. But I enjoy the job. I just don't enjoy the other stuff I have to put up with to do the job. It's one of those things. It's kind of it's complicated, and it's something that you probably don't really care about. I have a few things to talk about this morning. It's interesting, looking at the statistics of the show, just recently looking at this, our audience has consistently doubled. Now, when I have a show, when I don't have a show, it is not doubled when I don't have a show. That's what happens there. But what's interesting though, is that it has definitely increased. Everything has increased in terms of listenership. Now, I haven't actually looked at the, let's look at the, what do we got here? We got geographic stats. That's always kind of interesting to look at, see what kind of countries are listening in. Of course, Chile has been one that one's right there. Yeah, Chile still has a listener. There's our listener. New Zealand, Australia is quite a few. South Africa, of course. China, 36, which is probably their government probably listening in on what I'm saying. Bangladesh. Welcome. Italy, of course, and Portugal. Portugal, Finland. What else we got here? UK, something right there. I can't get my mouse over that. And of course the US, of course. But there's none in Canada, which is kind of weird. It's kind of weird right now. I thought there was one down in, where is it? Where is Peru here? I got to get down here. I'll see it. It's got to be down here somewhere. That's right in there. Oh, there it is. Nothing from Peru. Oh, well. I possibly might be going to Peru here shortly. There's going to be a show there for about a week or so. Most likely. It's questionable whether or not I'm going to be able to get it or not. It's right now, it looks like about a 50-50 chance, maybe 60-40 that I can go. But in the meantime, I don't know if it's how it's going to go. In my cup this morning, on to better news. In my cup, I have chai with my regular chai with my coconut cream. I'm sorry, Almond Joy Creamer. It's got kind of a coconut cream flavor to it. I have in my backup cup, I do not have my own tea. I'm going to try this and see if it's any good. This is tea that I got. It's a mismatch. Let's see here, because it's mismatch Monday, right, by the way. It's still okay. It's cold, so it's probably good. I thought it might be kind of turning kind of funky because I brought it from all the way from Texas. I was down in Dallas, Texas for a couple days. And I got this tea. I can't remember where else I got it. It seems like I got some from, there's a little place called Aspen Grill, I think it was called. The Aspen Grill or Alpine Grill. I think maybe it was Alpine Grill down there, close to the hotel. And there was a little bit from, I think I mixed in there a little bit from, oh yeah, I know where it was, Potbelly's. I went to Potbelly's for a lunch one time. And that was actually pretty good. Pretty good sweet tea there. And I also had sweet tea at, from Olive Garden, which it was okay. I don't think I actually even used any of that in this particular cup. I filled up my thermos before I came home. And, wasn't sure how if it made the trip very well or not. Apparently it did. It's okay. I think I'm going to start I'll have to make some more sweet tea today. Well, actually, probably won't make any today because I'm going to be traveling back to Chicago for a quick trip. Probably be in Chicago overnight, probably. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. I'm sure hoping to get back tonight, but depends on how tired I am. I've been getting up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning every morning for the last week. And so my body clock is kind of on that kind of a time zone. However, since yesterday afternoon, I slept on the plane for a while. I slept last night for a while. I slept all night last night. Once that stress was all off of me, I could kind of sleep a little bit better. But I stayed in bed till almost 7 o'clock this morning. So I may get enough rest today that I can pull this off where I drive to Chicago, work for 5 or 6 hours, and then drive back home. We'll see how that goes. I'll end up getting home around 12:30 tonight, which is better traffic than early in the morning. But sometimes it's kind of depends on what the weather's doing, kind of depends on how I'm feeling mostly. It's whether I'm going to feel like, I hate that feeling of driving along trying to stay awake. It's usually the last half hour that gets me. I have a hard time staying awake for the last half hour. It's just really hard to deal with. Got a few things. I think the AI bots are working this morning. I'm not positive. I'm hoping they're working. If otherwise, I might have to fix some things. They should be working. I'm going to give them one last test this week, and then on to some. Actually, this week, I will be working on some better development stuff, and this thing's going to be packaged up and making it work better. We're going to talk tomorrow. Tomorrow on the Technology Tuesday, Technology Tuesday, we're going to be talking about some things with AI again, and it's. What's happening? There's some interesting stuff happening, and believe it or not, the Straits of Hormuz, or whatever that's called, are having an effect on that. We're gonna talk about that a little bit too tomorrow as well. Well, maybe today we'll talk about it a little bit too. But it's tomorrow. A lot of things to talk about within the world of AI tomorrow. So that's going to be the main topic, but also how AI is affecting technology in general. And we'll get into that at the time, we'll get into it. But anyway, because Mishmash Monday is just kind of a mishmash. I basically get down here. By Monday, if I haven't had a show for a couple of days, Saturday, Sunday, I didn't have a show. By Monday, I'm ready to push that button and just start talking. I'm just ready to start rattling off whatever's on top of my head. It needs to just go. Otherwise, it's like putting a cork on a bottle. It's just and then shaking it. That's kind of what it's like. I can't talk fast enough. They just spew it all out of me. So anyway, that's what I've got to say about that. In the meantime, so that's the trick. That's the thing. That's what's going on today's show. We'll take this brief interlude and then we'll jump right into it. We got some things to get into. So fasten your seat, but so buckle up. We got some things. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, you don't have to buckle up. This is more like a kiddie ride. So just we'll get into this right now. Here we go.
It's the news. According to me, it's the news. to me.
Yeah, so here we are. We got a few callers on the line. We got a couple of callers all lined up here for us. I'm gonna jump right into it. Let's see what we have here. I was talking about techno. Is that the guy that? No, I think it's this is. Let me see the other. This is the one. Yeah. Okay. Artie's the guy. Artie's the one. Let's see what this thing. I have to say, all this little gadgets I've got going on here now definitely have sped things up quite a bit. A few more things to do before get all this done, but it's definitely working much better than it was. That's for sure. I don't have the issues with the recording dropping out and doing weird things. Rendering times, all that stuff's going faster. I can get things posted a lot quicker. Everything works a lot faster. So it's just been a huge difference in my efficiency getting things done. We'll see how it all works out in the future here, but I think it's going to be very helpful. All right, so I have some things to get into. Let's take this first call here from. Oh, that's not the guy I want to talk to. I want to talk to this guy. That's who I want to talk to. Go ahead, caller. See what we got.
Good morning to you, my good man.
Yes, yes.
Have you heard about the minimum wage issue in California?
I have.
I've heard a lot of stores are closing and changing their business models.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
I do have some thoughts on that, actually. Yes, and surprisingly enough, this is not. I kind of saw this coming. I think I even said something about this. They've changed the minimum wage, and maybe you can look that up. By the way, of what that means, you can. By the way, call me Kevin. You can call me Kevin. For some reason, I don't know why this system doesn't know what it's doing. But anyway, so here's what's happened. They California had this initiative. They voted in this thing for a higher state minimum wage. Now, there's a lot of conflicts in this kind of legislation, and it all sounds good. And so people, of course, the average worker out there thinks, "Oh, I'm going to stick it to the corporate companies. I'm going to stick it to the man. I want to raise my wages because I can. They're making all this money, and I've got to." Most of these people who are demanding more money. It's a very temporary fix, by the way, because everything's going to go up. It's once labor costs go up, then the cost of everything goes up. The people who own if they own a property that you rent your home from, that you rent your apartment from, it costs them more money to live. So they're going to have to raise the rates to in order to pay the workers who come in and work and fix the place and do things and their own feed their own family and everything. That's what happens with all that. That's why the prices keep going up and the baseline labor rate goes. It's just there are some basics to our economy, to any economic situation, that have to be dealt with, have to be worked with. And when those things are artificially changed or regulated or mandated, it affects everything else around it. Now, what happened was... For instance, I think there was this there's a news thing. I'm not going to play it, but there was a newscast about a local newscast about this one. I think it was Mod Pizza. I hate to mention any business names, but it's this one pizza place, Mod Pizza. I think it was, and apparently they're closing 27 stores because of the right before the price increase, the wage increase is happening. Now, most of the people who were in that were questioned about it, apparently they signed NDAs that they can't talk about it, anything like that, which is weird for a food restaurant for their servers to have to sign an NDA. Now, if I had a business now today, anybody I would hire, well, if I had employees, I should say, if I had any employees, I would have them sign a contract, and it would have all kinds of stuff in it. It would have NDAs. It would have all kinds, because I just, that's what I would do. If they aren't willing to sign it, then I would just see you. I just find somebody else. Because of the nature of today's, because there's all kinds of things with social media, all kinds of stuff like that you have to deal with. And you don't want them just out there willy-nilly getting on the radio with a microphone and having a podcast or something and talking about your business. So I think it's one of those, that's one of the things I think it's kind of a, it's kind of just the nature of where we are now with today's business, and why we have to do that is because of the access that everybody has to mass media, so to speak. I call it that, a mass medium of communication. So there's just issues like that that you have to deal with. And it's, I think that that's something that probably that's why they're doing it. It's just because it's, you know, something happens at their store and they can post whatever they want to post or whatever they, it's just, you have to do that. So the interesting part of all that is how these workers were the ones who voted for this, thinking they were voting themselves a raise. Come to find out, the stores were working on a very marginal, slim profit margin, if any. And they decided it's just better to close the place than it is to keep it open. It's, they're not going to be able, because they, what they're going to have to pay their wages, they can't, they're not going to be able to raise the prices enough because the market may not be able to handle it. Too much competition out there, so they've got to close. That's just, so now these people lost their jobs. Now, I don't know what the unemployment situation is like out there. They probably get more money on unemployment than they do for working for their, just because that's the way socialism works. And it's well, we're going to talk about socialism a little bit later because Bernie Sanders has been out there. In fact, I wish Mondays I had a little more time to prepare some things, and because it's just one of those things where all these video clips, and that's one of the things I'm going to be working on with my my new platform here. I'm going to be trying to find ways of throwing video clips into an accessible place where I can get to them later on. Because Bernie Sanders has been making some, they had their No Kings thing again this weekend. Donald Trump did some posting about that. We'll talk about that again too as well. But yeah, I should be writing this stuff down so I don't forget to talk about it. But so these people lost their jobs, and now they're all upset about that. Now they're mad at the company because the company just decided to close the place down. Only gave them like 2 days' notice and said we're going to close the place down because. And it's just, they're just done. Here comes my little kitty. Little kitty coming over here. Say hi. Where's your kitty cat? Where's your kitty? Where's your kitty? She just came around the corner. She wants some pets. Yeah, she wants some petsy petsy. So that's what happens with the situation is that these people don't understand basic economics. They just think that, $5 an hour more or whatever, that's not, you know, that's like a 20% increase for some of these people. And that's a huge shift in your overhead. Well, so what they're doing is they're cutting back on wages. They're getting kiosks. They're closing places down. They're forcing people to work fewer hours, changing their job descriptions, demoting them in some cases, or giving them less to do and less pay for you know, well, they're getting more pay. They're not able to keep them there as long. So their check doesn't change. They get the same amount in their check because they're reducing their hours and they're finding other ways around to work around, especially the kiosk thing, putting those in. And that costs them money up front, but over the long haul, if looking over the cost of a year, of course, and with depreciation and everything else that you can do with those. Now, there are some places that are franchised and they have all kinds of options and they do, I don't know how all the franchises work, but some of them are different than others. Some franchise, and there's some companies that aren't franchised. They're just out there putting their own. They don't sell a franchise, so to speak. They just. I'm not sure. I don't think Starbucks is a franchise. I think they actually put their own stores in wherever they want. I think it's actually owned by corporate from the top down, right there. But if you say you want to open a Culver's, which is pretty popular in this area, or Chick-fil-A, something like that. You say you want to open up something like that. You'd say it's a franchise. You put up a certain amount of money or financing, whatever you end up doing, and then they come in and they tell you basically how you're going to run the thing, and it's run. You're basically the manager of the place, managing their franchise. It's a turnkey kind of operation. They come in and make everything. You know, they do all the demographic study, everything that they're going to do, and kind of. So you're just kind of working for them, so to speak, but you're also a business owner. It's not really an entrepreneurial thing, but it is it's definitely a business management type situation that you're getting yourself into. And so that's it's kind of a little different. They're all set up a little bit differently. Some are better than others, but it's that's what a franchise would be. It's like more like a turnkey operation where you have a local owner. And then they run the franchise, but you've got national advertising. You know, with that, you have a national brand recognition. You're not. It's not like you just start, say you go out and and get a some kind of burger joint franchise, you're not going out. You know, it's not just Bob's Burgers, and you're going out and trying to. There's a place up in Michigan. It's where I keep my boat in the wintertime. A place called Henry's, and it used to be a McDonald's, and they actually closed the McDonald's down. Well, he bought the place apparently, or he somehow he got the hold of the building. Started his own place, and if you go in there, you would think you were eating at a McDonald's in terms of the way the food is. I'm not saying that nothing else. It's green. It's a very different looking place. It doesn't have arches. None of that. But as far as the burgers go, everything that you order there, it's like ordering from McDonald's. I mean, the burgers are about the same size as McDonald's. Everything tastes the same as McDonald's. The menu's a little bit more limited, I think, in some respects. But the but in general, it is it's just like it. But now he doesn't have brand recognition. Nobody's heard of Henry's, at least not the O Henry's maybe or something. But that's kind of what it is. Now I guess I've left Artie on the line here. Maybe Artie wants to say something. Go ahead and talk if you want to. I left you with a lot of information to think about.
Ah, I see. Well, technically speaking, the minimum wage hike in California is having some unintended consequences for
businesses.
Yeah,
I've already talked about that. Yeah.
Many are finding it challenging to maintain their current operations and are having to make difficult decisions like closing down locations or automating more tasks. It's an interesting example of how government policies can impact the free market in ways that aren't always anticipated.
Yeah.
From an economic standpoint, artificially raising the cost of labor tends to lead to reduced employment and higher prices for consumers.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Businesses have to find ways to adapt and remain viable.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you done? I guess you're done. Yeah, that's what I pretty much said all that already. But that's the bottom line is any cost increase they have to pass on to their customers, and of course their customers end up paying more. And of course, a lot of their customers are people who work at places like Mod Pizza. It's just the common worker out there, the common everyday average Joe kind of thing, or Jane or whatever. They're out there working. They're working. And most of them are living paycheck to paycheck, especially in their younger years. And now this is no, I don't mean any disrespect at all to this. But I'm going to be careful how I say this, because it's very important. It's a very important part of our economy is this the entry level jobs that are out there. And when I say entry level jobs, I mean jobs that require basically no technical skills. They're hard working jobs, and they're jobs that you can kind of get on the job training. It's not something you have to go to school to learn necessarily. But it's hard working jobs that are just the average kind of starter jobs where you kind of develop or you start to break yourself into the working world. And here's the thing. Kids get out of college. They think, oh, well, I'm not going to work at McDonald's. I have a college degree. Well, guess what, buddy? You got no job experience. Unless you do have job experience. If you've just gone to school all your life and you get out of school with a degree, well, guess what? You're that and $5 will get you a coffee, a small coffee at Starbucks. Unless you work there, you might get the discount for, $4.50. I don't know what what they're thinking. When you go to college, you're thinking, oh, I've got all this now. I've got all this education. Education is nothing without some kind of job, enforcement behind it. You have to have some kind of relative experience behind that. That's what people want to hire you for. It's not, the education is, don't get me wrong, the education is important, especially in some aspects of the market, in some places in the industries. Education is absolutely important. I can't be a doctor or a nurse or a engineer without some kind of backing of some kind of educational background. Now, my dad had an eighth grade education, I think. Something like that. He did a lot of trade school training, a whole lot of it. Did a lot of stuff. He ended up with his what's called a journeyman's license, which is it's like a heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical. Basically, you can do all that stuff. Now he didn't keep up on all the codes, but he knew where to look for the codes and knew about the codes and knew how to do things. He was into real estate later on, and that kind of background helped him out a lot with real estate, believe it or not, because he could look at a place and know what it was going to take to fix it up, or knew, you know, kind of knew what was good and what wasn't good in that respect. But he's also involved in construction for a long time. It's just all the things that kind of he all the little different jobs that he did throughout his life, and then how that kind of culminated into what he was able to do the latter part of his life, for like 25 years, all of that stuff kind of melded into what he was doing. And he could kind of see how it all added up. And that's if you talk to anybody in life, later in their lives, most of them will say, well, if they've had a lot of experiences in life, they will usually say all those things added up to where I am today. That's what made me who I am today. And I'm able to do what I can do today because of all the things I went through. Now, if you're the kind of person who's worked a single job for 35 years or 30 or 40 years, you've never done anything else but that job, that's got some merit as well to it. But you don't have the kind of difference, the diversity of things that will culminate into something that could lead to something else. You probably are a very, very good expert at what you're doing. So there's just kind of different aspects, and it's just more about personality types and personalities and just job, you know, your placement in life and where you are and everything you're doing. It's just, some people are older in their older years and they're working in a fast food restaurant. That's fine too. It's more of an easy job. You kind of punch the clock, you punch out and you're done. You're not carrying responsibilities home like some of the other highfalutin jobs out there where you go home and you're still having to work. You're sitting there in your bed and your computer with you know, trying to get stuff done for the next day and answering emails while you're on vacation and like it's just those kinds of things. Everything has its own issue as far as responsibilities and levels of responsibilities, but it's an important part. Everything is an important part of the economy. There's just, in my opinion, there's no such thing as an unessential worker. If you have a job, it's essential to you. And I think that's where we really, what was that? I just saw something scroll by. Africa, what was that? Africa picking a person who's worked. Yeah, Chrome is having a little trouble getting my voice recognition thing done today. I'm seeing some weird stuff going by. It's not too bad, though. That was the only thing I saw that was kind of weird. Anyway, so that's where you're at. Onward and upward. Somebody else is calling. This is usually the wacky one. We'll see how this goes.
Well, it's me again.
Oh,
time
yeah.
for a little talk.
Yeah.
I know about this California thing firsthand. I've lost my job over
it. Oh, yeah, okay.
Apparently the company I work for has decided to replace me with a robot.
Oh.
I'm not happy about it, dude. I mean, I voted myself a raise and now I'm out of a job.
Yeah.
What's up with this?
Yeah, that's what I talked about, I guess, isn't it? Yeah. I knowing that you work in a pizza place now, that makes more sense now when you call in. But that's not to disparage anybody that works in a pizza place. Don't take that wrong now. I'm just saying. I think this just plays into what else I was saying earlier was about the whole thing. Companies are going to do what they have to do to make their businesses viable and make them, you know, they need to make a profit. They need to make some money or they're not going to be in business. And that's at some point you reach that point where you just have to say, you know, we can't compete here. The market isn't going to maintain. Our business model is not working because we have to have a certain amount of our employees. We have to have a certain amount of labor here. We don't have the automation that we can get to offset that, we can't afford the automation to make it offset. And sometimes it's not worth the automation. The automation just makes everything the same. That's one of the things that's causing a little bit of a problem in our robotic age is that everything eventually comes together with, there's no creativity anymore. You don't have any inspiration behind, you know, we're going to make pizzas that look like this and have the crust is like this and it's going to have our special seasoning is going to be on it like that. And it's going to be, you know, something that particular person likes and likes to make and that they found in their community. It goes over well. You're not going to find those things with automated systems, you're going to serve the masses. This is one of the problems with central government. You have people in Washington deciding that everybody is going to wear a mask. Everybody's going to stop working. Well, the outbreak hasn't happened everywhere. The virus isn't everywhere right now. We need to crack down on the areas where the virus is having an outbreak. Other areas, it's making everybody, going to mandate that everybody in the nation, even people out in Idaho, what is it? What is the population of Idaho? Is like a million people or whatever. What is it? I'm going to look it up. I think it's ridiculously low. There's cities with higher populations. What is the population of Idaho? Let's find out. Just over 2 million people. The entire state. Just over 2 million people. Boise probably has most of that. That's just uncomparable to, what is the population of Chicago, I think is, well, let's find out. We got the World Wide Web right here. We can just punch it right in there. 2.7 million people just in Chicago alone. It's the third largest city in the United States. There's two cities that have more. Now, it's hard to tell how they count that population. I don't know if that's just the city limits itself, but it's 2.7 million people right there in that little blurb of the country. Not even a complete state. So that gives you an idea. Well, let's just put it that way. Let's just do this. The state of Illinois has 12 million people, 12.7. So 10 million people other than the city has 2.7 million in a state of, course, now you have other, you know, got other fairly large cities in Illinois. You got Springfield. You have Springfield's the capital. And, of course, you have Champaign-Urbana area. You have Moline. You have further down, there's all kinds of other places that are fairly large cities. Not, you know, anywhere on that scale, but it's, a lot of people there. And, of course, the sprawl of Chicago. If you're just counting Chicago itself, 2.7 million. I think there's another 4 million, I think, that are in the general vicinity. So half the state's population is there in that area. Those couple counties. So but to have centralized government saying what, you know, they see things on the big picture that, oh, we have, you know, these, maybe the large population areas need to be cracking down and doing things or have certain regulations on large, but when they try to put a blanket policy on the entire country, it just doesn't work well. When you try to put educational standards in place in the entire country in areas that might have better education or might have, you know, so it's, yeah. Oh, I could get into so many things this morning. My mind is just spinning all over the place, but that's kind of the way things are with the whole situation. Now, Straits of Hormuz, there are some issues. I guess that there's some issues militarily as to, you know, the question is, why don't we just take over the strait? Why are we allowing them to continue to keep that thing shut down? And I think that what's happening right now, Trump is talking about boots on the ground with the Marines. There's 3,500 troops, I think, that are moving in the area. In the meantime, Iran says they have Iran says they have captured 173, I think. Some ridiculous number of Delta Force. No. Apparently, you don't understand. You guys, unfortunately, if you've captured 173 Delta Force fighters, where are you going to keep them? Because you. Yeah, good luck with that. They have not, first of all, let's just say they have not. This is all propaganda. The lengths that they go to, I also saw this AI-generated thing that was supposed to look like Israel was being attacked by bombs overnight. There's all these missiles were coming in, all the buildings were on fire, Jerusalem was on fire all over the place. Unfortunately, half of it was looked like fireworks. And it was an AI generated. It was obviously AI generated. And it was just the most ridiculous looking thing. And the comments, people were watching this and apparently believing it, because all the comments that were coming through were all this, oh, good, it's fine, it's about time that over. Like they were all positive about the event. They were all happy about it. And I'm looking at it going, this is not real. Why are you even thinking this is real? And I've got family over there. And of course, there's nothing like that going on over here. I don't know. You'd think they'd be the first ones to talk about it. And it's not on the news at all. And of course, they would say, one of the things in the post was, the media is not telling you about this, but Israel overnight was missile attacks all over the place. Now, there was one missile attack that hit someplace. Now, the straits are, it's not just oil that goes through those straits. There's a lot of other things that go through there. There's a lot of supply chain stuff that goes through the straits, which is an issue. And some of those things have to do with technology. Some of them have to do with other things, but there's all kinds of chemicals and everything else that goes through there. There's helium gas. There's all kinds of other raw materials that go through those straits. And those things are dependent, or there's some industries that are dependent on the things that go through that strait. So this is making a difference and it can make a big difference in the world economy very shortly if something's not done about it. But there are issues. There's a lot of mines that are placed all over the place in those straits where they don't just let people go just anywhere there. So that's an issue. However, I believe that what's about to happen here in the next week, I think we're going to see by the end of this week, you're going to see possibly a takeover of the straits. It's very possible. Now, Iran has a lot of military stuff. They've got a lot of little ships, a lot of little what they call high speed boats that kind of interceptors, and they kind of approach other boats in swarms, much like the way they do things militarily with their drones. They all have a fairly inexpensive drone program that operates on swarms. It's like a little delta wing. It's not a drone like you'd think of with all the propellers. It's actually a winged drone. It's like a one propeller, fairly relatively slow moving. I think it flies around 100 miles an hour. Carries a pretty good sized payload. But the thing is, you have 40 of those launched at a time, and it's hard to shoot them all down. How that can be done? The technology's out there to do all that. But occasionally one will get through, and it'll cause some damage and it'll cause some issues. That's been their basic offense and defense as well. It's just kind of the crazy stuff that they talk about, though, and the things that they act like they have. We took out a whole bunch of their ships. It's just been interesting to see some of the things have unfolded. But we'll see how that all goes. I believe, it's my strong belief, that by the end of this week, and I have a show, I'll have a show. Tomorrow's show is the only one that's kind of in jeopardy. I don't know if I'm going to have a show tomorrow morning or not. It probably will. But if I do it, it's probably going to be later in the day, later in the morning, I should say. But for the most part, there should be a show every day this week, as far as I know. But but tomorrow's the only one that's possibly going to be a little bit more difficult to get done. Now, having said that, I believe by the end of the week, I will be reporting. I think on Friday, I'm making a prediction here, which I don't do very often, with other than just to say possibilities of things. But I'm pretty sure that by the end of the week, I think the straits are going to be either opened up by Iran or we're going to open them. That's what I think is about to happen. I think that's what the whole thing with the boots on the ground is about. And of course, everybody's saying, boots on the ground, that's what they're opposed to. I think that people are just uncertain about it. I'm uncertain about what's going on. However, it sounds like we're not committing 35,000 troops or 350,000 troops to the war effort here. That's not what's happening. So I think it's important to understand that part of things. Which I still don't like it. I don't like the fact that supposedly we have had a few injured as well. Again, I think there was the bombing that happened recently There was a missile that got through. I think it was someplace in the Arab world. Might have been Qatar. Which is a problem because of where it was, where the damage was done. There was some missiles hit there, and there were some other issues. I'll talk about that tomorrow. Some infrastructure that was destroyed there actually is a pretty key part of some industry, some markets, and it's going to be interesting to see how things go here in the next month or two. But they've got to get this thing straightened out with the straits and get trade going back and forth through there again. That's where the choke point is right now. I think that's probably going to be on Trump's agenda fairly soon here. So that being said, there's some other things that are happening. The No Kings protests that were going on, Trump decided to thank everyone for the No Kings. He said they did an awesome job with the No Kings protests that happened all over the country this week. He said he's very happy to see that because he's not a king, but he's happy to be your president. So we don't want a king here in the country. But he's very happy to be your president. So he's good job, folks. Good, nice job, nicely done. Now, what's interesting about this whole thing is that they talk about no oligarchs, no oligarchy, no oligarchs. Almost every communist or democratic socialist country out there, they are more prone. If you look at the what they don't tell you, they make it sound like, oh, it's just all about the people, you know, it's power to the people kind of thing. Oh, it's just communism, it's just everybody working together from each according to their ability to each according to their need kind of attitude. It doesn't work that way. The leaders are up at the top. Well, what's your ability? What are you able to contribute? Well, I contribute leadership. Oh. Why do you have more money than half the population? Oh, I don't. I'm not one of the richest people. Everybody has everything. Everybody owns everything equally. We're all equal here. That's not the way it works. And that kind of a society has never prevailed. Never. Ever. It's always become the ideal where you have oligarchs. And the oligarchs control some things. And, of course, they either the government gets rid of them, which is what has happened in China recently. There's this one guy who kind of started speaking out a little too much. And he was the head guy of Alibaba or something. Disappeared. He was kind of outspoken about some things. And he kind of came out and was kind of flaunting his success and the fact that he was you know, controlling billions of dollars. He wasn't necessarily a billionaire. But he was in all sense of the word, he was for China. He was a billionaire, and there were several there. There are several people there who are in those positions with the government. There are cronies, there are oligarchs, if you will, the people who are behind the scenes. Russia has oligarchs. We've talked about them during the whole thing when Russia started invading. We talked about how Putin was kind of subservient to some oligarchs that were behind the scenes. He's a very rich man, but he's rich because of the oligarchs that are around him, and he surrounds himself with these people who, when he goes to do something, he has to have their approval or some of the funding doesn't flow that needs to flow. So he still answers to some people. And it's those people behind the scenes who are really controlling some things. The problem is, in some countries, and then the fear that goes back and forth between the two of them is one can cut one, you know, something, they each have something that they each need. One has money, one has power, influence, whatever it is. And you have the other side of it where they can just kill you if they want to. They can just take you out because they have all these secret service agents and all that, everything else that can happen. And that's kind of what happens there with that whole thing. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship that happens. Those kinds of that is much more prone to happen in democratic socialism. It happens as well in crony capitalism. The same thing. You got business owners here that just like with the whole thing with the wage increases out in California. The unions are a big part of that. They want to see the minimum wages go up. Because when they go in and they file, they when they have workers, they're trying to fight for higher wages for their workers. Well, they have a hard time doing that because somebody can, you know, go down the street and hire somebody for, you know, $10 an hour, and they're asking for $20 an hour. Well, why would you want a union there? Why would you want to continue? You know, you don't have any leverage. If the state minimum wage is $20 an hour, well, now you can say, well, we're going to fight for $22 an hour for our union, or $25 an hour for our union members. And of course, the more money that they get for your wages, the more they work on a percentage. So if you're a union member, they get 2% of your income or whatever they get, whatever your agreement is with them. So everything that you make, they get 2%. Well, if they can raise your wages, they get that's a raise for them. And just keeps escalating out of sight. I don't know what that was. So that's what ends up happening with all this stuff, and it's just crazy. So there's the cronies that are behind the thing are the leaders of the unions. They're pushing for different things with legislation. They have lobbies. They have the average worker out there doesn't have a lobbyist that pushes for legislation, promotes the legislation. There's these big organizations that are doing it for them. They've got certain politicians in their pocket, and they put certain things across the board, and that's how this stuff happens. So, needless to say, that's what happened, and that's where we are today. There it is. Make sure I push the stop button on there so nothing weird happened. That's good. All right, there you go. And anyway, that's the news for today. That's kind of what I've got going on for today. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about some interesting topics. I think tomorrow's subject's going to be pretty interesting. As for the folks in California, let me just say,
what's wrong with you people?
That's what I'm going to say. So tomorrow we'll be talking about some other things, but that's all I got to say about the stuff today. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll talk about what's going to go on tomorrow. That's what we're going to do.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me. According to me.
As we enter into the end of the show here, folks, we have just a few things to cover about tomorrow. We're going to talking about the Straits of Hormuz. Oops, I wasn't supposed to be that loud. We were supposed to go and talk about the Straits of the Hormuz thing, the effect it's having on some things. Mostly going to be talking about AI and all the things that are happening there. And how the effect it's having on some things in the market right now. It's becoming a very large part of this very large sector of our GDP, and it's having a, I should say, the most effective part of our GDP right now, our typical economy. We're going to be talking about that a little bit. In the meantime, welcome to Monday. I hope you have a great rest of your week. We're going to be moving into the new month here just shortly. Call the show if you can. I will talk to you tomorrow. God bless. In the meantime, I will see ya.